Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and today I'm very happy to welcome KH Studio, a young architecture office from Oslo. I'm super excited for the interview, so let's get started. Okay, hi Kasper, hi Henrik. Hello. Super happy having you on the show. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
And before we start the actual interview, please introduce yourself.
So we are Kasper Sando and Henrik Gjerstad, and we both grew up in a small place called Nøtterøy. It's a coastal suburban area south of Oslo. And in 2016, we founded KH Studio during our studies and has been running it since. And we focus on creating an architecture that continues to explore the relationship between nature and humanity while constantly working through an artistic and innovative approach. And we also have some different backgrounds, where Kasper grew up in a family that were very interested in sports, and myself, I grew up in a family that was very interested in culture and art. So this somehow creates a good balance in our way of working and thinking. And also from a young age, we were inspired by the strong Scandinavian tradition of housing, and also Scandinavian materials like wood, for instance. And where we both enjoyed and the rough nature and spent a lot of time interacting with it.
Yes, I saw your paintings on Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
It's really impressive.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's get back to it later. In general, we start the interview with some warm-up questions about yourself. So the first question would be, architect, always been your dream job?
Yeah, so Henrik and I, we've been studying and knowing each other from a long time, already since primary school, where we shared many of the same ideas. So before deciding what kind of field we wanted to study within, we also had a big impact on each other and was lucky to get into the architecture school at a young age of 18. So then I moved to Dublin and studied at the Dublin School of Architecture, where Henrik moved to Copenhagen and started at the Royal Danish Academy. And then on the second year, I did a transfer to Copenhagen, where I was then in the same class as Henrik. So that's somehow where we started to work together and found out that we want to be architects. And we were already then quite a good team, I have to say. And also through the years, Henrik also gathered some experience from studying abroad. Also on the Rhode Island School of Design in Providence in the United States, also at the TU Delft in the Netherlands, and also then he collaborated with the OMA, Official for Metropolitan Architecture, in New York in 2018, and then later on with a Norwegian firm called Jensen Skadvin in Oslo.
Wow, impressive. And so a lot of traveling going on.
Yeah. Yes, it's been a bit back and forth, and I think it was a very good experience, and we are very happy to be inside the field we are at the moment.
So no artistic studies for you, Henrik, even though you have such a great passion for art.
Yeah, I do, but I also think it's something that is very easy to combine, you know, it's sort of the same in a way. But also, I had this exchange, as Kasper told you about, this exchange to Rhode Island School of Design. And here I was able to do some art courses too. So there I really learned the balance between art and architecture. And I think it's very important to see the art and the artistic approach in architecture. So I'm still doing art and mostly paintings, but also sculptures. And I find like sculptures is more like something between like the more the visual paintings and architecture itself. So kind of constantly try to combine those things, and I also try to bring my knowledge in art into our architecture and our projects.
Understandable. So you both recommend a lot of traveling and getting more experience of other perspectives.
Definitely. I think it's very important to see different cultures, get to know different people, and also the experience myself. I was lucky to have some work experience from Zurich, where I worked in a smaller office called Art Studio. We made a lot of private housing and luxury housing around the Lake of Zurich. And at the moment, I'm working also for the OMA, Office of Metropolitan Architecture, in Rotterdam. And it's very intriguing and interesting to get to know the different people, and you learn a lot about architecture in that
okay.
way.
Next question. If you could learn or wish for a skill overnight, what would you wish for? Which skill?
Yeah, a great skill to develop overnight would maybe be knowledge, and especially then in materials, which I think is fundamental for architects to really understand the life cycle of material and how we built more efficient for a sustainable future and urban
Interesting.
Planning.
A lot of people say, I would like to fly, or I don't know. do some magic, but you would like to get more knowledge of materials.
Yeah, I think it requires many years, and in that sense, I think it would be it's a great skill to get overnight.
Okay, interesting. And last one, your favorite hobby besides architecture? Or is architecture
your
hobby?
No, I think for us it's as we also told you that we have lived a lot of different places. So of course we're really into like traveling and exploring new places, and also exploring new buildings, and also for myself, I'm also visiting a lot of museums, especially during my time in New York. I really enjoyed looking at new exhibitions around in the city, and of course also meet new interesting people, and I would also say you learn a lot about architecture from the outside, and I also think that we architects, we often forget that we're designing for everybody, not just architects. So and also there's a lot of interesting events to attend to. So we architects always tries to find a balance between art and buildings, and it's also how we can combine and reflect over these topics. That's very important for us. And I would also say that we meet most of our clients and collaborations through events and contacts in our network. So
super interesting. You are a really young architecture office. You founded in 2016. Can you describe your first steps in becoming self-employed?
Yeah, indeed. As we're not too old, and as I said, we already started the established KH student 2016. We were both students at the Royal Danish Academy at the time with the age of 20. And there was a point when we started to do a lot of competitions also outside from the studies. And therefore, we decided to start up the KH. It's been very inspiring, and also we learned a lot from an early stage. We gained some work experience from different offices around in Europe and the United States. And we're still trying to get as much as possible experience before we would like to start up KH at a full base, and not only with freelance as we do at the moment. And because of the pandemic in the mind, we decided to wait another year or maybe two before becoming 100% self-employed. And I think the key thing is this. When you start for yourself, and the point where you really decide to do it is when you have enough projects that runs and pay your salary. And we always try to create architecture with a very bold statement and to find collaborative studios that are open to do this and work collaborative for the future.
So you work on a freelance basis, right? Do you have a permanent position besides your work for your own studio in some office, meaning a 40-hour week?
It's been a bit back and forth. So in Zurich, we work freelance, like 50-50, where we were allowed to work with the KH studio and then also doing collaborations with the company that I worked for, which is called Art Studio. At the moment, I work full-time in Rotterdam, and then we try as much as possible to work beside. Also, it became many late nights, I have to say. Yeah, and it's also an office where we work on a very high pace, so it's very time-consuming,
I have to say. And how does this collaboration process look like? You do design proposals for a certain competition, or how does that look like?
So from lately, it's been mainly open competitions, but also smaller work, especially around in Norway, like small cabins and stuff, and also some bigger ones. So the range between the scale, it's quite big too, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. And where did you find your first clients, or did they find you?
Yeah, at events through in our network. Yeah, that's true. I think the first project we really did was a couple of years ago. It was a pavilion for a family member. So I think from that point we started to do projects, I would say.
That's a really exciting path you walk on.
And
it is.
It's like the total dream path for every architecture student.
But back then as well, then we did this project while we were students. We've been quite busy the past years. And
And if you do a design proposal, how does your design process look like? How do you start? Maybe you can describe the process with an example of your latest works.
Langhofer.
Did I say it right?
Say again.
Lange.
I think I would first say that, during years of studying, you really develop a design process, and everyone gets their own. And as we also told you earlier, Casper and I are lucky to know each other from a very early age. And this is very important for our cooperation. So we have always been found on model making, understanding the context and also the situation to build in. Not only the scale and topography, but also the place landmarks and the history to the place. And fundamentally is keeping what is already important to the context and rather highlight it than actually building on it. And it's also fascinating to think about how we humans experience the world through our surroundings and also how a material can evoke different memories for different people. And, you know, people live and spend most of their time in buildings, so we experience architecture as something that are hard or soft, heavy or light, or hot or cold. So I think that's like the base and what we do in our process mostly. And yeah.
Is there a set of rules that you stick to if in your design process, or do you have to let go any kind of rules to totally free your mind?
I think it's a balance between everything. Of course, we have this habit, so a way of doing things, but it's also important to keep this artistic, more open approach to a project too. But it also depends a lot from project to project, I have to say.
I think it's also a lot about let's say if you do collaborations, it's much bigger teams and it's almost too many minds into one project where everyone would like to say something. And as we know, architects have very strong and independent thoughts. But working together, this is, I would say, a very strong thing Henrik and I have together because we know each other quite well. It flows very well in the beginning of the process and we agree on most of the things, which is then different when you work on a bigger team.
That's super rare to find this one person that you can easily work with.
Yeah, it's very true. It's also strange. Henrik and I, we've known each other for over 15 years, so it's a bit rare and
yeah,
very
you're super lucky.
Happy.
Please tell me something about your latest work. It's a beautiful project called Langoya? Langoja? How do you
yeah,
say it?
So this Langoya is... Yeah, so we know we have this weird... but Langoya is translated into English. It's the Long Island. It's an island in the fjord of Oslo. And this is a research project that Henrik and I did last year. And yeah, as you said, you can see it online on our webpage or Instagram or whatsoever. And I would say it's a very interesting story, and it's a very what to say on time to work in this kind of research project. Because the island has been isolated from the public for more than 100 years because of its industry. And now with the project, we try to tell the three different stories that's been happening over the time, where the past will try to create a new destinations for the visitors, which I think is very interesting because it's been closed for over 100 years. Overlooking the old limestone quarries, the precinct will focus on the landfill and toxic waste with a research center, and the future will frame an old quarry with subtle objects in the landscape. So it's a bit different to explain, of course, when you can't really show the project, but this is a project we decided to pick up and do because it's very much described in the news in Norway, and it was this beautiful island in the 1800s where it was residential, some people lived on the island, and then the industry really took over the whole island, where it became these limestone quarries. So of course the people had to move, and then in the end we had it was taken out 10 million tons
oh, wow.
of stone. And you had these big holes on the island, which you couldn't just leave behind. So it's a Norwegian company who bought the island. And they started to fill it up with toxic waste, importing from all over the Europe, Greece, in Ireland, all the Scandinavian countries, also from Germany, and really start to fill this up. And then in the end, they just locked it with some clay and earth, and it will just... be left like this.
Okay, it's really impressive, but I still have the question: how do you guys manage your doing this kind of project, this work, and also working for an office that's not yours? How do you manage your time? Do you work on the weekends or late night?
You have to be
or
very.
How do you do that? Both.
Both.
You never sleep.
No, we do. I think it's just about being organized. And we have to have it's a full calendar, and we are very organized, both of us. And now it's a bit different, of course, because we live on two different locations. But then again, we know each other very well, so it's very easy to work and handle and just keep updated on each other. But it's definitely a lot of
but
work.
But it's really impressive.
I think thanks. I think it's a good time, and all this experience you gain now before, let's say, settle down and start up, I think it's a very good and important experience to have.
Let's have a look into the future. Where are we going relating artificial intelligence?
I think the technology is really developing at a fast pace, and we have to keep up to date, of course. So we have experience both in the analog and the technical studies, and especially at the first year at the school, we were doing a lot of this analog thing before, like, exploring and working on computers. The way of designing and developing projects is changing. But we believe as architects that we need to keep the importance of the analog sketching and model making, because it's a very powerful tool and very creative. And I think the process is requires this kind of analog studies. But and on the other hand, we work with the newest programs and also producing a lot of renders and visualizations of our projects. And today, maybe the renders have become too realistic, and sometimes you can fake the reality. Mm-hmm. So for us architects to still have our own way of exploring and developing, it's important that it won't take over, at least for the next decades, I would say.
Yes, I can relate to that. First year of university, hand drawings were like required. Would you say that most schools and universities are a little behind and not progressive enough in terms of preparing their students for the future work life?
No, I think they make it rather clear as you start with this analog sketching and a hand drawing, and then of course you get these lectures with these powerful tools like BIM software and 3D modeling programs. So I think it also depends from school to school, of course.
Do you already work with BIM, or are you in the process to do so?
We're in the process, still learning, I have to say. So,
And with what CAD program do you draw? Revit, ARCHICAD?
We have experience with both, but mostly ARCHICAD.
So with the BIM, it's mostly then ARCHICAD, of course, because you can work bigger teams in the same file today, which is very, very good. I think it comes a bit more maybe into the next question.
Yes.
But we also have to put in because mainly we're using Rhino. Because it's personally, I think it's a very playful tool, and it has a lot of capacity in the way of designing. So definitely in the process and like to try out different models and shapes, we really use a lot of Rhino.
Yes, Revit would be way too complicated to just do some. Some sketches.
I think this is, yes, I just want to add, like, you work with Rhino to develop because it's much easier to work with the shapes, and then it's important to for the end result to work with the Revit, yes, or either ARCHICAD when it's like somehow a solid project.
That's true. We have a lot of problems with Revit because it's so complicated. Oh god. How do you imagine the future living and working space?
I think we all have to experience how important home is, especially these days in the pandemics. Instead of always thinking about minimal living, I think it's changing to more like, you can say, flexible living, where the home is also a big part of our daily work. And I also read an article from CNN Business recently where the big banks introduced that they will reduce their office space and cost with as much as 40%. And they say they will introduce this hybrid working. And I think this is the future.
So the post-COVID future for companies is hybrid work, a model that combines remote work and office time. But yeah, it's not just the combination of home and office work. It tends to include more freedom around when to work as well as where to work.
Yeah.
Is that also your philosophy for your studio?
Yeah, I think it's very important to make these flexible buildings, so you're able to use spatial rooms for different proportions. So yeah.
In Germany, is still a strong presence culture going on. How is that in Oslo?
It's still as people still go to jobs, but they also want people to work from home to reduce the infection, of course. But I think it's very important to get up and to go to actual office space. I think in the future maybe you can work a couple of days during week from home. So it's more like a balanced week.
Mm-hmm. No physical presence might be required for orientations, team building, and project kickoffs, but not necessarily for other work, right?
Yeah.
I think it's very important, like in the start phase of projects, it's very important to gather and be together. But otherwise, you work very dynamic and you can work from home and from different locations. And also, I think this works very well for architects. And we used to travel a lot, which is, of course, a bit harder. But in that sense, I think like a balance of this hybrid solution is it's very the future, I would say. Some days off and on from the office.
Regarding the current situation, will there still be future building tasks for large public gatherings? Meaning universities, colleges, concert halls, museums.
I mean, we think there is always a need for large public places. There will be more need of dividing the large spaces into smaller temporary rooms, for example, with flexible and removable walls of any sort will be necessary or a necessary architectural element and a feature we will see in the future. So we always have to build for the future.
And how can we, for example, design a concert hall or a church, buildings that mainly live through their atmosphere, when we have to divide the large space into smaller spaces?
That's definitely a good question. But maybe these spaces need to be even larger in a way, so they can. Then they can have even more people in there and keep distance from seat to seat. It's definitely a problem.
Oh, everybody has just those Oculus Rift glasses and sits in their home and just looks through their glasses to the museum.
That would also be sad, I think. But
is it time for a social rethinking in terms of our social living?
I think we believe that our architecture can help develop new ways of thinking the social life and social rethinking, like flexible architecture with the spatial solutions, but also working in a much more urban focus. Because as we know, the pandemic and the enforced distancing has in fact highlighted our initiate need for human contact and our drive to care for each other. Where cities have often been criticized for somehow having this lack of distance and isolation. And like over the years, I've heard also now with the pandemics, the neighborhoods, they help out with each other and it feels like a much safer place. We use the urban, the public spaces much more. And this makes also the people living in the dense city less isolated. And also, as we architects, we work a lot. It's very time consuming. And after many years in the field, it has also become a lifestyle where it requires long working hours and you always have to be somehow present. We are also very ambitious and motivated to reach our goals. And therefore, we work a lot also in bigger and smaller projects. And we also make space and time for doing other stuff. Of course, beside work, this is also important. And I think we will gain lots of inspiration and knowledge entering both different working associations and both national and international competitions, where we definitely have to, you know, think of the new social rethinking and develop that with our with this in our mind.
Do you know the movie Ready Player One? It's a science fiction movie where everybody sits home alone and they try to escape their own horrible life through their virtual reality entertainment thing called Oasis. And everybody creates an avatar, and so they play in this entertainment world called Oasis. Mm-hmm. So you don't see that for us.
let's hope not.
Okay.
No, it depends. What's the future? What's how long would you say? What's the future? Is it in 10 years, 100 years, in 1,000 years? I think within our time, this is not
next,
what's going to happen.
In the next 50 years,
not
what's,
at all.
What's going to happen? No.
No. I wouldn't say, especially not with the HR.
What is architecture for you personally?
Architecture forms life.
And it's a lifestyle.
And what lifestyle do you mean by that? The lifestyle of an architect we all have in mind, or the reality that we sit there and work all day and all night?
No, it's true, but I think you really have to love what you're doing, and like architecture, and you always have to be present. Somehow you dream architecture, you always think architecture, you walk around in the city, you see somehow solutions everywhere and nowhere. Like this. But it's really you being an architect, especially for, let's say, I can say us, it's you really always think about it, and you have to enjoy it. Otherwise, you have to do something else.
Okay. And what's the next project you're going to work on?
No, it's together.
Do you already have
it's
something in mind? Or?
It's actually a landscape hotel.
Oh, wow. A
yeah,
hotel.
Landscape hotel. It's we're like a hub with some shared facilities and a restaurant, I think, and then some smaller cabins divided into the landscape in Norway, actually. So I think it's a very interesting project we will start on very soon.
That was already the last question. Thank you so much for being my guest. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I hope we stay in touch.
Definitely.
Perfect.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Ciao, ciao. So that was my interview with KH Studio. It was such a pleasure meeting them, a young architecture office from Oslo, and I'm really excited what they are up to next. I hope you guys had as much fun as I had, and thank you for listening. Please leave a comment as always, and till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!